Opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Reading. Coming to you live from Reading, the state of Jefferson. Here we are, Sovereign Minds. We've got things to talk about today. We all know about the fire. There's other things going on, too. You know, I was listening to Terry talk about knowing how to handle looters with his shotgun. I want to remind him that if you're not hunting, you don't have to have a plug in that gun. You can get 6 or 8 bullets in there.
Yes, you can. And hopefully you can get 6 or 8 looters.
Hey, you know, before we go too far, I want to get a plug in for an outfit. It's called speakupreading.org. And what they have brought to my attention and, 5,000 signatures they've gathered already is that the casino move over to Interstate 5 and South Bonnie View is not a done deal, that we do have an avenue to stop that. If you're against that, go to speakupreading, speakupshasta.org. And, I don't know about you, but I don't feel like that's a good move to go over there. Because of the impaired drivers that'll move over there, I feel that probably a lot of our brothers and sisters that don't have a home will follow them right on over there. They've already ruined Clear Creek down there. They'll just come on over and ruin the Sacramento River a little bit more over there. Red?
With the whole casino thing and the homeless thing and... There's so many problems facing us that need to be dealt with. Why are we trying to put more on our plate before we're fixing what we've already, what's broken and what needs to be taken care of already? Why are we looking to pile on?
That's right. And, boy, we just got to get a handle on things. And, I live over kind of where Rayleigh's is. It used to be on Hartnell, and I see an influx of ne'er-do-wells over there. You know, when they get burned out on this side of town, they've got to go someplace else. So lock up your things over there and be ready for trouble.
Well, there is that, too. And we're starting to, unfortunately, hear a lot of stories about looters and looting moving into the burned areas and things like that, and our large degenerate population that has been forced out along with a lot of other people, moving into town and moving places there. And, maybe this provides an opportunity, too, because we've heard a lot about these homeless camps and stuff. And, once they're set up, we have to give them notice that they have to leave and all these other things. Well, currently there's no homeless camps in West Reading. So maybe if we stay on top of it and don't let them set up camps in the first place, we don't have to deal with that issue.
That's a great thought. You know, just don't let them come back in. And, there's green belts over here on the east side of Reading that they haven't infiltrated yet. Let's not let them get into there. I noticed an influx at the Henderson Open Space this morning when I was leaving, and it's just heartbreaking.
It really is, a lot of the things. But there's a lot of things that need to be taken care of, need to be dealt with, Now is probably not the proper time to delve into it fully, but it's surrounding this fire. It is long past time that we people here in the state of Jefferson stand up and demand proper forest management and proper use of our resources and protection, because of a lot of this is tied directly to policies that have come out of both Washington and Sacramento that are endangering our properties and our lives. And there needs to be a serious community-wide discussion about it, and it has to stop. There has to be a cessation of the policies that have created the situations that we're facing today.
You know, that brings up the subject of Idaho. Isn't it Idaho that sued the federal government to take control of their national forests?
Them and Utah.
That's who I was thinking of.
They're still in the process of that. We're hearing some word out of Mike Lee, a congressman out of there, that he's going to be pushing to actually turn the federal lands over to the states, as they should have been a long time ago, that the federal government shouldn't basically own the West and have it locked up under the Forest Service or BLM. what that looks like in the communist state of California is another question, but it's a start.
You know, I caught an hint someplace that the feds were caving in and going to let them take control.
They should.
Oh, yes.
And what it comes down to with our resources here is either our forests can be a boon and a benefit to our people or a burden and a danger. There is no reason. I mean, I've lived in the North State 40 years of my life, and I have dealt with wildfire. I've seen severe wildfire. I grew up in the mountains of Trinity County. I've been surrounded by wildfire my whole life. This is not normal. These fires are not normal, the amount of heat and the volume that they burn at and the rapidity that they burn at. And no dirt worshiper is going to tell me that because it's been 2 degrees hotter over the last 10 years is causing the kind of fire that we see. It comes down to the fact that we don't have the fire infrastructure that we used to. We used to have logging roads and fire breaks cut. You could drive along the highways and you'd see the fire breaks already cut over the hills. They're not there. They're overgrown. We have waste fuels that are waist deep. You go out into the woods that are not being cleared. You have deadfall that's not being removed. You don't have healthy stand timber harvesting going on. And not only after they harvested and thinned the trees, the logging companies that would go through and clear the slash and cut the slash down and burn all of those fuels, that's not happening. We are chocked full of fuels, and we're going up like the bonfires that we're creating.
Well, we don't have the services we used to have.
No,
we don't have the money for the services we used to have.
We are taxed more at any time than we ever have been for fire services, and we have less fire services available than we ever have.
But you know what? Our retired employees, the government employees, they're retiring real well. That's where our money's going, is pensions.
Well, that is a lot of it. And there is a broad spectrum of issues that are going on that are contributing to this. And it is well past time that we as a community and citizens stand up and demand a change and create change ourselves if necessary.
You know, and Dang Whittington gets a lot of credit and credibility with this, with the things that they're spraying in the air, the aluminum sulfate, and that kind of stuff is just accelerants. That's the word I was searching for. I don't believe that's helping, and that's something that needs to be investigated.
But with all of that said, we did have a program planned since last week, and with some discussion, we've decided that let's go ahead with the program that we did have planned, you know, maybe a little bit of return to normalcy. Let's talk about maybe some other things other than this fire and the things that are going on. So we do have a couple of guests coming on today. Our first guest will be coming up right after the break. He's Bob McKean out of Oregon, and he's going to be talking to us about some of the training and some advice on things to do on what an average person with their concealed carry or anything can do in certain situations, and the way that they can be trained to conduct themselves and what to do after the situation has occurred. So with that, we're probably going to go ahead and head off to our first break. And after that, we should have Bob back. And with this, we just kind of wanted to give a tribute to fallen firefighters and some of the people out there that are on the line and still missing.
And
thank you.
And working hard.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR. Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
We've got a caller. I think it's our guest, Bob. Bob, you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, Mr. McKean. How you doing this morning?
Well, I'm not a mister. I'm Bob.
So, I hear there's some unfortunate news for you guys up north, too. Evacuations are getting underway for Grants Pass for wildfire as well?
Grants Pass, Merlin area, we have a lot of fires in our area, and it just not seems to stop. You know, you guys are having a lot of problems down there, and our hearts and prayers are with you guys, but we're going to be in the same boat here pretty soon.
Yeah, and our hearts and prayers are with you guys. I think it's time for us Jeffersonians to get together and discuss some real solutions and put a stop to it, one way or the other.
Definitely.
So. But you are Bob McKean and our guest today, and we're really excited and happy to have you. If you could tell us who you are, Bob, and your background and the group that you work with and what you guys do.
Well, I'm a retired police lieutenant. I spent 30 years in the Bay Area, originally from Yreka, so I'm from the state of Jefferson. And when I retired, I moved up to Southern Oregon so I could get out of California. My background, spent about 25 years as a firearms instructor for my department and for the police academy. A lot of my training was through the FBI and Smith & Wesson Academy, NRA, a lot of NRA instructor certifications, and also through the United States Concealed Carry Association. And a lot of what I'm doing now is I'm giving back. A lot of my training was paid for by taxpayers. I'm retired, so I'm giving it back to the people. So my classes are very reasonably priced because I just need to cover my costs, but I'm not out here to make a big dollar. My group is Gray Man Tactical, but I'm also a part of a bigger group up here called Gray Feather Solutions. And we put on training classes for the average citizen. We're not the high-speed, you know, Tier 1 Special Forces type shooting programs. We take people from zero knowledge and get them up to where they are competent and proficient and able to protect themselves, their families, and their neighbors.
And that's something that there definitely is a need for. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that want to go out there and do the high speed militia type drills and things like that. But there does need to be something that is a practical application for average everyday citizens that are going around their daily business and may find themselves in an extraordinary situation and how to respond. And that's what your group is looking to provide, correct?
Yes, it is. One of the things that we've looked at, a lot of people are kind of intimidated by going to different firearms classes because they think they have to have the skills to even go to the class. And we have a number of different courses that start with people who have never fired a handgun in their life. And we bring them up to an area where they can be competent and capable. And our classes are really small. One of the things we notice, there's some good instructors out there, but there's some of them that teach large groups, and you spend half your time watching another group shoot before you rotate through. We keep all our people on the range. We run classes between maybe 4 and 6 people, and we'll have 4 instructors on the range. So we get individual attention. And that way we find it's people learn a lot better. And we don't have 7 and 8 hour classes. We try to keep it around 3, sometimes 4 hours because the learning is a lot better in a shorter period of time with repetitive training and not just throw it all at you one time and you go home and you forgot most of it.
Have you ever had anybody on there that you think probably shouldn't have a gun?
Well, this is the thing. We pre-screen our people. We usually do like a phone interview, and we haven't had anybody yet. I have individually. I have not certified people.
You know, I took my CCW class, and we were out on the range, and there was a couple old gals there, I'd say 75 or 80, and I thought to myself, I sure hope I'm not in the mall when they pull out their gun and start fanner 50-ing.
No, exactly, and that's one of the things that we look at. If a person's cannot safely handle a firearm or is not mentally stable enough to be possessing a firearm, then we will not certify them. That's part of our duty and responsibility. We don't just rubber stamp our certifications. We make sure that the people in Oregon here, it's a little bit different than California. In Oregon, you don't have to qualify at a range to get your concealed carry, but in our class, you do.
That sounds like a good policy.
I actually was not aware that you didn't have to qualify on a range for your CCW. So basically, they're more interested that you have the book learning, but not the practical knowledge of the sharp end of the stick, if you would.
Yeah, correct. In Oregon here, basically, you have to take a firearm safety class from a certified NRA instructor, and that's all that's required. But a lot of us up here are starting to change that around to where we're getting people to shoot, getting them out on the range. We've had some people come to our concealed carry class that already have a concealed carry permit, but they want to learn to shoot. And so we run them through the basics. We have a basic, intermediate, advanced level courses and try to group the class with people that are at the same skill level so there's no slow or no fast people. And give everybody quality training because you got to have that confidence to be able to carry a firearm as well as having the mental attitude of when and how you're going to use it. So a lot of our training also goes into scenario-based training where there's decision-making, shoot-don't-shoot type situations. So we prepare the person to be able to shoot accurately and safely but also when to shoot and when not to shoot.
Tell me, what's your opinion of open carry?
Well, in Oregon we have open carry, and quite a few people up here in Southern Oregon do carry, and it's a right, and I have no problem with that. I think that's a good thing, but on the downside, when you're carrying an open carry, everybody sees you. And when I see people like that, I just back up a little bit and I watch everybody who's watching the person carrying a firearm. And, you know, it draws a lot of attention. I believe in being the gray man. Be the person that blends into the group and nobody knows you have a firearm unless you have to use it. We had a case up here, I think a little over a year ago at Walmart, where there was a man that had a concealed carry, but it was exposed, and somebody saw it, and he went into the bathrooms, and a guy slammed his head against the wall, beat him up, and took his gun away from him. So it's not always a good idea, even though it's your right, it's not always a good idea for open carry in public.
I have a hard time understanding how it could be legal to open carry and illegal to conceal carry. They both seem like they're a right to me.
Well, they are, but, you know, you and I don't make the rules.
Yeah, then you start to wander down the legislative rabbit hole there and, in the court system, and, you know, you get agendas that are tied up into it. And, you know, I understand what you're saying with open carry, and I think a lot of it is because open carry has disappeared for so long. And maybe I'm a little biased and a little gendered one way because I grew up in a mountain town and I'm very used to being around firearms. I'm very used to seeing, you know, people with the rifles in the back of their truck or their pistol on their hip. You know, you were actually kind of looked at funny if you weren't armed at the time because you're out in the woods. What are you doing without a gun to protect yourself?
Exactly. I mean, it's the whole change in our society to where the gun is evil, and it's not what's in the person's hand, it's what's in the person's head, and our legislators just can't figure that one out.
Well, and we've seen the loss of a lot of programs. I mean, I remember as early as back when I was in sixth grade, every sixth grade student, regardless of whether you were going to be a hunter or anything, you went through hunter safety, like you would go through driver's training. We spent a full week of bookwork. You know, we'd spend a couple hours a day of bookwork on the hunter safety program. And then that weekend, everybody went out to Mr. Dano's ranch, and you spent the weekend out there showing you could go over a fence, you know, could fire from a prone position, a kneeling position, and you had to get your hunter safety certification card to pass sixth grade. And if you didn't qualify out there at the ranch or you didn't pass your book test, you didn't get certified.
Well, we did that in Boys and Cub Scouts, too, at one time.
We did. I went through it through Boy Scouts as well. And it's, you know, as you were saying, it's the change of society and the thought process and a loss of a lot of these programs. You know, I think the Boy Scouts is a great highlight of, you know, what we're losing, not only in training for things like that, but the implementation of civic duty and certain thought processes and patriotic behavior out of our young men because we've lost programs that used to be standard like that.
Oh, I tend to agree with you. I know one thing they do here at the Ashland Gun Club is that they have days where they have the Boy Scouts come out and are allowed to shoot, you know, 22s. You know, they have plenty of range officers out there, and we've gotten a really good response from the Boy Scouts here. And
the
problem a lot of places have now is that there's not very many places where you can actually go shoot. You know, a lot of ranges have been closed down. A lot of public lands have been closed off. There's just not that many places anymore to be able to shoot.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure our public ranges just went up in smoke.
You know, I've taken about a half a dozen people. I spend a lot of time out in the woods, and I'll throw in a 22 and not even tell them about it. And we'll get out someplace. I like to hang a frying pan, aluminum frying pan, in a tree and let them shoot it with a 22. And I've had people that were scared of guns and, here, come on, we're going to shoot. And by the time they're done shooting 100, 150 times, you know, hey, this is pretty fun. I'm not scared of a gun anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just sometimes it's a matter of getting the opportunity to just get one in your hands and see that, you know, it doesn't mm-hmm. just automatically point at somebody or walk into a liquor store and hold it up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're getting to the bottom of the hour here, Bob. We're going to have to take a quick break. But when we get back, I'd like to get into you with some of the other training that you provide, the medical triage and things like that, and the other kind of groups that you're looking to help provide this training to. So if you can hold on, we should be back in just about 5 minutes.
I will be here.
All right. And this is for Lavoy Finicum, as we always play.
line with someone they love. Cowboys ain't easy to love, and they're harder to hold. And they'd rather give you a song than diamonds.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything, and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo return this August to Reading's Cascade Theater. These two are still rocking after 39 years together. Four-time Grammy winners Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo bring their band and their hits to the Cascade August 6th. Get tickets and limited VIP passes today at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Everyday Fitness and Training is Reading's elite fitness center, locally owned and operated, featuring 21,000 square feet of cardio, strength equipment, aerobics, and member amenities. Located at 2345 Athens Avenue, Everyday Fitness offers over 35 classes per week, included in membership, along with Silver Sneakers memberships and classes. We offer corporate discounts to first responders, active duty military, and U.S. veterans. Sign up now for a free week pass at edfitness.com.
Bob, we're back here in Reading, Jefferson. It's a pleasure talking to you. We had a call in from Wynn. He's wondering about the traffic conditions on I-5.
Hold on a second. We still got our intro music here. All right, there we go.
Did you get that, Bob?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, we had our lead-in music still going.
I'm a rookie at this. I don't know when to shut up. Hey, Wynn called in, and he's curious about the traffic conditions on I-5. He's got some family up in there that are coming down. Is there a worry on movement?
Everything looks good on I-5 that I've heard so far, and the last I heard was about 9 o'clock this morning.
That's good to know. Although, you know, the last couple of days we've been witness to just how fast that situation can deteriorate into bumper-to-bumper traffic. My family's actually been evacuated since Thursday night. We're still not able to go home. But when that massive orders went for the Lake Boulevard area in Reading, it went from, you know, normal dead streets to bumper-to-bumper traffic everywhere you tried to go in 15 minutes. It was, you know, and it's really eye-opening because there's a lot of us that preach preparation and training. Have your go bag, have your bug out bag, things like this. And if this situation doesn't highlight the need for what we're talking about, because you just never know what it's going to be, I don't know a better situation to get it through people's heads. Be prepared.
Well,
have a plan.
100%.
So, and hopefully your car doesn't run out of gas.
Yeah, well, you should always have gas in your vehicle. You
absolutely
should. And, you know, and again, the plan, have multiple routes. Know where you're going to go. Have multiple routes to get there and have multiple locations to try and go to, because southbound traffic, within a matter of minutes, you weren't getting out of town. And so people need to be aware with that. But with that, Bob, can you tell us about some of the other training that you provide on the medical triage end of it and some of the groups that you provide this training to?
Well, one of the classes, a couple of classes that we've offering in conjunction with our basic and our tactical handgun training is there's a program that just came out here not too long ago called Stop the Bleed. And it's a nationally certified course. They say you can get it done in an hour, but we extend it to 2 hours to give people plenty of practice. But it has to do with the use of tourniquets, wound packing, and pressure bandages. And the reason behind this is, I know they don't like, Red Cross and Heart Association don't like this, but you got more chances of saving somebody's life by stopping bleeding than you do CPR. And it's a pretty simple course. We combine it with some of our advanced training where we're doing shooting on the range. We'll stop, make the range safe, and throw a tourniquet at somebody and say, hey, your partner just got shot through the leg. You got a femoral artery bleed. Stop it. So we build those scenarios into it. Then we expand into the tactical emergency casualty care course, which is a civilian version of the military C3 course. And we include chest seals and rapid evacuation. And so we combine it with our whole philosophy is that, you know, if you're a responsible carrying gun owner, you need to have, first of all, you carry a safe, tested, reliable handgun. You use only quality factory magazines, only carry quality factory ammunition. You use a safe and reliable holster, and you obtain quality training, and you practice, practice, and practice. And we advocate that everybody carry a handgun, possibly a pistol if you can, with at least two magazines. You carry a good quality folding knife, and you carry a tourniquet, and we also advocate carrying pepper spray. So you have a less than lethal level of force if necessary. It kind of bridges that gap between nothing and all the way. So that's kind of a layout we have. We're also starting into home defense, uses of different firearms in the home, shotgun, carbine, and how to fortify your home to protect it from invasions. And we're also working on some courses we're doing with some of the charter schools and some of the churches on dealing with the possibility of a mass shooting and how to minimize those type of incidents by hardening the target and having trained people within your group and how to respond to it. And I've been working, at least in my group, and then the other group, too, we're reaching out to a lot of the different patriots. There's a lot of really good people out there in the patriot community who have concerns about our Constitution and the direction that our country is going in, and they realize that law enforcement can't be there 24/7. And I'm sure you guys are experiencing that now. The law enforcement is probably stretched way beyond its means. And who best can protect you than yourself? You and your loved ones need to be protected right now, not 10, 15, 30 minutes from now.
And that is
so we work with the patriots an awful lot because, you know, they're not all gun-toting AR-15 type guys. They're just average citizens, and they realize they need this basic training just to get themselves in a position where they can defend themselves, protect their families and their neighbors.
Well, and that's, you know, a really relevant statement, especially today here in Reading, where we're receiving numerous reports of looters and ne'er-do-wells and things going on through burned out areas. And, you know, it say if you're in one of these areas or you're at your home trying to get some things out or something and you come across these people, that's a very realistic possibility at this point in time here in Reading is you could come across as what do you do? You know, do you have the proper training to deal with that situation? What do you do? How do you know if you escalate it or things like that? And that's where training that of the type that you provide is very fundamental, I believe. And also, you know, situations, as you said, like with patriot groups and stuff, in the current political atmosphere where people are being openly and violently attacked for their political beliefs, there is a very real need to be able to provide security for certain things and certain groups for people. And, you know, one of the statements that you had given to me is not everybody in the room needs to be, you know, armed, protected, and trained. It would be great if they were. But you can provide security by, you know, having just a select few people within your group that know what to do in a situation. Is that correct?
Correct. And it's important that, you know, you obtain the skills, but the other thing that we really stress and train for is what happens after the shooting. If you're involved in a self-defense situation and you're forced to the position where you have to use deadly force to stop a threat, that's part one. Part two is what happens afterwards. How do you deal with the police? What's the possibilities of criminal and civil action being taken against you? These things can ruin your life. Even if you're right, you could spend anywhere from $10,000 to $100,000 in attorney fees just to prove that you were right. And so we go through a lot of different parts of the training that explain this on how to talk to law enforcement, things that you do, things that you don't do. And personally, I'm a real advocate of having concealed carry insurance. There's a couple groups out there. The NRA has one. I really like the one that the United States Concealed Carry Association has. They have three different policies depending on how much you want to spend. But for about $30 to $40 a month, you and your spouse can be covered. They have 24/7 people that you can contact, a phone number, and they have attorneys all around the country that that have an idea what self-defense is, not just a attorney who maybe just works contracts or something like that. They have some good people there. And they're with you all the way. There's been a lot of good reports of how they've defended a number of people. And what's really interesting about their policy, it's not just firearms. It has to do with anything that you're using legal force. You know, we had a guy up here not too long ago, was it maybe a year and a half ago, up at Callahan's, where they had a shooting. This guy stole a car and he got up on the freeway and he got out and started shooting at people. And this guy was driving down the freeway in his pickup and the guy took a shot at him and the guy just veered over and took him out with his truck. That was legal intervention. So he would be covered under something like that. Not just using a firearm, but anything that to defend yourself. So those type of coverages, a lot of people don't know about it. And I know right now the USCCA has about 250,000 plus people that belong to their program. And it's really catching on, and we really encourage people to protect themselves. You got to protect your family and your home and all your assets after one of these types of shootings or incident occurs.
And I don't think that there's a great number of people that are aware that there's even something out there like that, that you can buy insurance and protection and have ready legal advice and protection available to you if you do are unfortunate enough to find yourself in this kind of situation to where you have to react and deal with a threat. And I think it's a good thing that you guys bring that up and teach people on that. You know, I was always told, you know, shoot, shovel, and shut up. You know, but you know, that's a little extreme. But I mean, to an extent, you know, one of the conversations you and I were having, you said it's very common for people that don't feel that they've done anything wrong, that feel justified. They very much want to explain their side of the situation, but there at the initial police report and stuff, that's probably not the best idea. And even though you are justified in your actions, you want a lawyer there to protect your interests, correct?
Exactly. As a former, you know, police officer, you know, I know that when the police officers show up, they want to know what's going on. And one of the things that we explain to people is that you need to protect yourself. You need to be explain certain things, but you need to be quiet on others. For example, when you call 911 after something like this, you don't give a lot of information because it's recorded, and it'll come back and be used against you if you say something contrary to what you said on 911. So we recommend that people just give a real quick, brief information. You know, I was attacked. There's been shots fired. The attacker is neutralized. We need paramedics and law enforcement here. You give your name, a description of what you're wearing, and stay on the phone until the police arrive. You know, we tell people if it's safe, reholster your firearm, keep your hands in plain view, tell the officer that you're armed and let him tell you what you want, what he wants you to do. Don't reach for your gun to take it out to put it on the ground unless he tells you to do it, because the officer has no idea who the good guys and bad guys are. And I've been on that side, and it's really kind of, it's kind of hairy for the cop. So be neutral, keep your hands in plain sight, do what they tell you to do. Statements like, you know, this person attacked me. You may give, hey, rounds were fired in this direction, because they're going to be looking to see if there's any collateral damage. And point out, hey, those people over there that are walking away, they were witnesses. And if they start asking you questions, which they will, you just say, well, you know, I'm willing to cooperate with you, and I will talk with you, but I want to talk to my attorney first. And they should accept that. And if they don't, you have to say it over and over and over again. And don't volunteer anything. Don't text messages to somebody. Don't make any phone calls to people and tell them what was going on. Stay quiet. Stay calm. And, you know, you can also, it's not a bad thing to say, you know, I'm not feeling good. I think I need to get checked out. I want to go to the hospital. That gets you a break from the scene and gives you time to make your phone calls and get your attorney lined up. Most police officers that I know would be good with that. But it depends on the jurisdiction and the quality of the officers. You may get somebody that's really cooperative and works with you, or you might get somebody that's really hard and starts hammering you. So you got to be prepared. Not all police officers are alike.
All right. With that, we've got to slip off to another break, Bob, and we'll come back and wrap up as we move to the top of the hour. So we'll see you just here on the other side.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab. Faster for less.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 Health Grades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earned the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
Well, welcome back to Sovereign Minds. The last couple minutes here before we get to the top of the hour and the news break, and I'm sure we'll have plenty of news of what's going on and things to discuss. We want to thank our guest, Bob McKean, for being with us and sharing the information. And, Bob, if people wanted to get a hold of you and your group, what all areas are you guys willing to travel to?
Well, right now it's been mostly Southern Oregon, Curry County to Klamath County to Douglas County, but you know, I'm so close to Siskiyou County, and you guys, if we put something together, can get it worked out, we're willing to travel.
Okay, I've got a feeling that we will have some people that are very interested, especially after this program. And anybody that wants to get a hold of Bob can certainly contact me to get a hold of Bob. And what's your guys' information if they wanted to get a hold of you guys directly, Bob?
Well, the best way would be for right now, because we kind of keep a low profile. We're not into mass advertising. We're looking at quality students versus quantity. So my email would be the best way to get a hold of me, and that is cop2rn@aol.com. I'm the cop, my wife's the nurse, so it's cop2rn@aol.com.
Excellent. Oh, and I wanted to thank you for being with us. I know you guys have got a lot going on up there, and you know, our hopes and prayers are with you guys going through the same thing. You guys aren't getting the national attention that we're getting, but your situation is just as dire and has been. And you know, we always feel for our brothers and sisters in Southern Oregon. You know, you're part of the family to us here in Jefferson.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to come on and talk. And again, I'm willing to help people who want to be helped, and we'll do the best we can to give quality training. And if there's areas that we can't cover, we'll refer them to other people that can.
Excellent. And there is definitely a need throughout our communities to get people that are you know, proficient and up to speed. And I know a couple of institutions and groups that could definitely use your services.
Well, I'm not in the business of selling insurance, but for your listeners, if they're really interested in concealed carry insurance, I would suggest that they go to a website. It's www.usccaoffer.com, and it'll have all the information, and they should be able to you know, make a decision if it's right for them.
Well, it does, and it sounds like something that would be valid for anybody that is, you know, that is exercising their Second Amendment right, you know, because you never know what kind of situation you're going to be put in, and you never know when it's going to happen. And to have that safety net in place, I believe it's something that would be vital and people should certainly look at. Keep yourself protected on more than one front.
Well, every time you leave your house with a firearm, you don't go out with the intent of shooting somebody, just like you don't get into your car and go out with the intent of wrecking your car. So you just need to be prepared 24/7, and this is one way to cover one of those gaps in there that we have. But the training is really important, and the coverage is really important.
And they do provide immediate access to legal aid. If you find yourself in this situation, you can call, and they will refer you to a lawyer?
Yes, they have 24/7. They have attorneys all over the country. I have my attorney that I have here is dialed into them, so if I'm local, he will be the guy that gets the call, but if I'm out of the area, I'll get another attorney that's on their list.
Excellent. And, you know, dealing with situations, just having that legal advice first thing can make a world of difference.
Yes, like I said, you know, the shooting is the first thing. You survive that, then you have to survive the aftermath.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of people don't realize how important it is to learn how to protect yourself. Here in Reading, the average 911 response time is probably about 13, 14 minutes. And to put that into perspective, 1 minute's a long time if you're getting your butt kicked. Imagine 13, 14 minutes waiting for somebody to come and defend you. You know, I was talking to a guy yesterday at the civic meeting on the fire, and she lives right on this block we're sitting in right now, and she has a taser, and she had to tase a guy yesterday. to leave her alone, one of our homeless brothers and sisters. And I asked her how many times she has had to tase people, and she told me 7. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
7 times being in the position to where you have to defend yourself with a taser.
Well, she's very lucky that she had a taser, but then again, if it becomes a deadly force, and the taser doesn't, from my experience, does not work all the time on everybody. And you don't want to go, you know, just shoot somebody to shoot them, but you have to have a backup. A taser and pepper spray is a lower level of force, but it doesn't meet, how can I say it? If somebody brings a gun to a taser fight, who do you think is going to win?
Yeah. Well, I was using that as an example of how often you might have to defend yourself, or just once, you know.
And especially you get some of the people that are on some of the stimulants that they're on nowadays. I mean, some of these drugs are just insane, what they'll do to humans. And that's, you know, from methamphetamine to PCP to, you know, some of the outbreak of these bath salts and stuff. And You never know.
Well, yeah. If you're dealing with somebody that gets high,
the fact that we're not taking care of our mentally ill, too, and they're on the streets. And it's just more dangerous out there. You can't say, well, gee, I live in a small area. I don't live in a big city. I live in Reading or I live in Medford, and we don't have those things happen. That's not true anymore.
Unfortunately, it's not. And, you know, in a lot of cases, the mental health situation in this country has become so critical, our smaller outlying areas have become dumping grounds for larger cities' problems, and the mentally ill is certainly one of them.
Well, that and also the gangs, too, because, you know, juvenile gang members are being paroled out to stay with their aunts and uncles and their grandparents out of the cities, and that's one of the problems we've had up here is we have gang members up here because they've been paroled up here so supposedly to get away from the gangs. And they find out that they got a lot of other guys up here in the same boat, and they all band together, and now you've got gangs running all over the place here in Southern Oregon that we never had 10 years ago.
And on top of that, their families follow them up there.
That too, yes.
Yeah, there's a lot to be solved, but it's a long road to solve them. So take your own safety as your own responsibility, as you should, and your self-defense as your... Right, and do your duty to be properly prepared for what may come, because every day that unfortunate reality becomes a larger probability.
Definitely, and that's something we've lost in our society, that we've relied upon the government, the police, to take care of us all the time, and that doesn't work anymore. And who better can defend yourself than you?
I read a comment in the paper one day, and the guy says, what do the police do anyway besides show up after the fact, take a report, and call up somebody to come and clean up the mess? And a lot of times that's the case.
Yeah. Well, in a situation like us here with a response time of, you know, 13 to 15 minutes, more than likely the situation's resolved itself one way or the other.
That's right.
Yes. Yes. No, you're right.
And hopefully the good guy won.
Hopefully.
Well. Hopefully, yes.
All right, well,
that's why you have to have all the advantage you can on your side. With the good training, good equipment, and good mindset, you need every one of those points in your favor when this happens.
All right, Bob, with that, they are going to cut us off at a hard break at the top of the hour. I want to thank you for coming on and the information that you provided, and I certainly hope some people make use of your services. I think it's a vital and necessary thing. I want to thank you very much.
Well,
thank you, guys, and be safe, okay?
You too, sir.
Sitting on a bar stool.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says President Trump believes the Federal Reserve has every right to raise interest rates if it wants to.
We as an administration absolutely support the independence of the Fed, and the president's made it clear that this is the Fed's decision.
Mnuchin tells Fox News Sunday Mr. Trump's recent statements questioning whether the central bank should increase interest rates are just comments indicating the president has a concern. The Fed is set to meet Tuesday and Wednesday. It has raised rates twice this year in response to strong growth, low unemployment, and a slight rise in inflation. California fire officials say wildfires around the state have forced roughly 50,000 people out of their homes. The California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection says 12,000 firefighters are battling 17 significant blazes in the state today. California has experienced considerably more fire activity this year than it did over the same period in 2017. Southwest Airlines says cracks in engine fan blades, like the flaw blamed for a fatal accident, have been found at other airlines.
Southwest Chief Operating Officer Mike Van de Ven says he knows of maybe four or five reports of cracked fan blades at other carriers. The engines are made by a joint venture of General Electric and a French partner. Van de Ven says GE is considering recommending airlines inspect and lubricate fan blades every 1,600 to 1,800 flights instead of every 3,000 flights. He says Southwest is already doing that.
Correspondent Rich Thomason. Cambodians voted in an election today that virtually is certain to return to office Prime Minister Hun Sen and his party, who have been in power for more than three decades. With the main opposition silenced, local and foreign rights groups have agreed the polls will not be credible, but turnout was about 80% today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You work hard to recruit the best talent for your business, so you understand how important benefits are. Today's candidates are looking for more than just insurance and retirement accounts. They want benefits they can use every day and perks that help them achieve that all-important work-life balance. With Veradesk Standing Desk Solutions, you can create the healthy office culture they're looking for, where employees can move more throughout the day, so they're happier, healthier, and more productive. The new Veradesk ProDesk 60 Electric is the perfect way to create your active workspace. It's a commercial-grade electric standing desk that lets you sit or stand with the touch of a button, and it assembles in under 5 minutes with no need for professional installers or labor costs. The ProDesk 60 Electric ships for free, and thanks to our 30-day guarantee, if you don't love it, we'll pick it up for free. To learn how you can try the ProDesk 60 Electric in your office, visit veradesk.com/radio. That's varidesk.com/radio.
Another day of snarled streets and stranded riders in Barcelona. We get a report from correspondent Rhonda Rockstra.
Taxi drivers in the popular Spanish tourist destination continued their strike, protesting ride-hailing apps like Uber and Cabify. Hundreds of hacks parked their cabs in the middle of the Gran Via Saturday, where some drivers spent the night in their vehicles or in tents. The strike started Wednesday after a judge decided to suspend the need for additional authorization for ride-hailing companies to operate. Meanwhile, Uber and Cabify suspended services after taxi supporters assaulted several of their drivers. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
The death toll from a strong earthquake today that struck Indonesia's popular tourist island of Lombok has risen to 14, with more than 160 people injured. The quake damaged more than 1,000 houses and was felt in nearby Bali, though no damage or casualties were reported there. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The U.S. now has the highest maternity mortality rate of any developed nation. Dr. Charles Snyderman tells us about efforts to improve that.
U.S. women are waiting until later in life to have children, and this may explain the paradox of more complications in pregnancy despite obstetric care. The American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology is calling on health insurers to support routine maternal ongoing care after birth rather than one isolated visit. This is Dr. Charles Snyderman reporting from Washington.
Today is Sunday, July the 29th, and a birthday for some famous folks, including former Senator Nancy Kassebaum Baker, 86 years old today. Actor Robert Fuller turns 85. Former Senator Elizabeth Dole is 82, while rock musician Neil Dowdy of REO Speedwagon turned 72. Documentary filmmaker Ken Burns has 65 candles on his cake today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Well, welcome back to KCNR 1460. You're here on Sovereign Minds, and we're at the top of the hour here. We just spent the last little bit talking with Bob McKean of Grayman Tactical and some of the services that he and his group provide to average citizens, bringing them up to speed on firearm proficiency, medical training for emergency triage, some, you know, very vital things. But moving into this hour, we have ourselves a new guest. Ben, are you there?
Yes, sir.
How's it going, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Hey. Yeah, if you could give us your name, who you are, what you're about, what you're up to, a little introduction, it'd be appreciated.
Sure. Yep. My name is Ben Burquam. I am the founder of Frontline America and the co-founder and spokesman for Fight Sanctuary State at fightsanctuarystate.com. Working to create, or we created the initiative to overturn the SB 54, the Sanctuary State Law, as well as AB 450 and AB 60, and really to put sovereignty back in the hands of the federal government in America, restore the rule of law in California.
That is a uphill fight there, bud.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is the fight of our decade, in my opinion. If we lose this fight now, we lose our nation. If we are no longer able to determine who comes in and out of our country, and with what we see going on in California by the Democrats using illegal aliens as a voting block now, if we don't have sovereignty, we lose our nation. But the bright side of it is even Democrats are coming to our side on this. So when you look at the recent numbers, on the Republican side, we win, around 80%. But even Democrats, it's about 50-50 right now who oppose the sanctuary state and oppose protecting criminal illegal aliens over American citizens. They may disagree on DACA and some of the other stuff, that we oppose as well. But at least on this issue, when you talk about people that have broken our sovereignty, come into our country illegally, and then committed additional crimes, sometimes even, violent, that end up going and killing American citizens, it's universally opposed, even in California. So the bottom line is we just have to get the funding to get it on the ballot, and I believe we win it.
Oh, there's no doubt we're going to win it. I read where there's over 73% of the population against the sanctuary state. It amazes me that our legislatures can shove it down our throats like that.
Well, they can.
Yeah, it's weird that they're so tone deaf. Like, obviously we live in a state that has a supermajority of Democrats, so I think they get to a place where they're just, their egos, they're just blind to what the constituents actually want. The scary thing is, you're right, it's 70% plus when you take that 50 plus of Democrats and over 80% of Republicans.
Yep.
It's 70% that oppose it, yet they still keep voting for these guys. And that's what, the part that I still don't understand is what's that shift going to be that affects the voters to where they don't just oppose an issue, they oppose the people that put that law into practice. And yeah. But I believe we're there. It's just this kind of chicken and egg thing I think we have to win this and really take back the narrative. And that's really what we've struggled at as Republicans. And I would even say, let me separate that back. I'm registered Republican, but I'm a Christian conservative. I blame the Republican Party even more than I blame the Democrat Party for the situation we're in California.
They've completely laid down.
You know, Ben.
Yep, they've been weak.
Ben, they got to give us somebody to vote for. I read a deal years ago that maybe there should be three categories: the two candidates and none of the above. And if none of the above got the majority, they had to go find somebody else. But I'm having a hard time deciding who to vote for the Senate. Maybe you could advise me. Do you like Kevin DeLeon or Dianne Feinstein? You know,
Kevin
DeLeon,
Kevin DeLeon is an enemy of our state. He has committed treason in passing fight tech. He's admitted to protecting and aiding and abetting enemies within criminal illegal aliens. So to me, he should be in prison. He shouldn't even have the option of running. I have no love lost for Dianne Feinstein, but between those two, but I know exactly what you're saying. It's
the
lesser
of the
two evils.
I'll be honest. I've had the displeasure of sitting across the desk from Kevin DeLeon twice now, and I will tell you, he is one of the dumbest human beings on the planet. He is not an intelligent man.
It's funny you say that, because I sat in a meeting with him. I used to work for the state assembly for Assemblyman Patterson years ago, and I sat in a meeting with Kevin DeLeon in Fresno, and I got sick to my stomach listening to him because he was so dumb. And I thought, if this guy is representing the people of this state and is deciding the laws that pass, this was before he was head of the I'm drawing the blank on the Senate pro tem. He made this comment, and I'll just, you know, anecdotally. We're in Fresno. Obviously, Fresno is a hot part of the state. They were there to talk about where they were going to put these solar panels, you know, taking our tax dollars and redistribute them around the state. They had this big solar panel initiative, and they were trying to determine where to put the solar panels. And really what it was they were going city to city and taking our taxes and going to the people in those cities and saying, look how great we are. We're doing all these great things. When in reality, all they're doing is taking our tax dollars and wasting it. But he made the comment. Somebody got up and said, Senator DeLeon, why don't you just put it where the sun shines the most? We're talking about solar panels. And he looked kind of dumbfounded, and he said, huh, you mean we should put solar panels? They're the place that gets the most sun. And I think he was literally serious. He hadn't really thought about that. I came away thinking the same thing. I'm like, this guy has to be one of the dumbest guys I've ever met. And now he is in charge of the Senate of our state. And he may be our next state senator, which is, you talk about scary.
Yeah. I regularly apologize to my friends across the country for the people California sends to Washington. But that includes the Republicans too, because they have been exceptionally weak. The representatives that we do send don't do a whole lot either. It's really kind of an embarrassment in a lot of ways.
Well, we've got the House and the Senate. What have they done?
The tax reform. I know they've made a lot of excuses, and that's the frustrating thing. And I believe that's really why Trump has so much support, is people are just sick and tired of politicians. Mm-hmm. I am done listening to people tell me what they think I want to hear and then going and doing the opposite on the Republican and the Democrat. At least with the Democrats, I know what they believe, and it's everything that I disagree with. But on the Republican side, I am more sick of people telling me what they think I want to hear. Donald Trump has legislated, and this was my fear, actually, when he got in the race, because his past, you know, you think, oh, this guy might be a Democrat, might be a wolf in sheep's clothing. I voted for him, and I thank God every day that I did. He has legislated more conservatively than our last two Republican presidents by far, and really more conservatively than most presidents in history. And it hasn't – he's kept the promises that he's made, and that's the biggest thing to me. And that's why I totally agree. In California, when you look at the Republicans that we put into office, they're pathetic. We may as well have Democrats. I would rather have a Democrat have a good villain to go after than a pathetic person that's supposed to be on my side that doesn't do a dang thing that they say that they're going to do.
Donald Trump has that our politicians don't have? He's got accomplishments.
Yes.
Well, that's it was a couple of years ago now, but We actually had one of our state representatives stand in front of us, and we called them on several issues. Why don't you do something about this? Why don't we do something about that? Why don't you move on this? And he literally stood in front of a group of patriots and said, well, if we do those things, the media says really bad things about us.
Oh, my gosh.
He really said that. I didn't. It's not often you catch me speechless, but that was one of those times. I didn't even have a response to that. What do you say to that kind of cowardice?
You say, get the hell out of here, go home. You don't deserve to be in that seat. I mean, and there are so many people that are supposed to be our representatives that have no spine, that should not be there, and you know they're just a bunch of narcissistic punks that really they get elected. And I've been in the state legislature. They get elected to stay elected, and the way they stay elected is by keeping the people that got them elected happy.
Yeah. Hey, Ben,
sorry
to cut you off, but we've got to sneak off for a break. Terry, we do have you on the line. If you can hold or call back after this break, we'll get you on the air as well. But we do have to sneak off to this, and we will catch you on the other side.
I hear people talking bad about the way they have to live here in this country. Harping on the wars we fight, griping about the way things ought to be. I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down our country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toya stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a Redding sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
Lion. He's the king of the jungle. Huge mane out there. He's laying down under a tree in the middle of Africa. He's so big. He's so hot. He doesn't want to move. Now, the little lion comes. They start messing with him. Biting his tail, biting his ears. He doesn't do anything. The lioness, she starts messing with him, coming over, making trouble. Still, nothing. Now, the other animals, they notice this, and they start to move in. The jackals, hyenas, they're barking at him, laughing at him. They nip his toes and eat the food that's in his domain. They do this, and they get closer and closer and bolder, till one day it's up and tears the shit out of everybody, runs like the wind, eats everything in his path. Because every once in a while, The lion has to show the jackals who he is.
And welcome back to KCNR Free Fire Radio. And it is a bit like that. I think it's about time for the lion to just get tired of it and tear his way through everything and remind everybody who's really running stuff.
Hey, I read about some lions in Africa we could import over here. On one of the refuges for rhinos, there were some poachers sneaking around at night and a herd of lions ate them. That's good. The truth. All they found was their boots and their guns.
All right. With that, Ben, do we still get you?
Yes, sir.
All righty. And Terry, are you there?
Hello.
Hey, Terry. We got you?
Yeah. Am I on the air?
You are.
Anyway, hey, Ben. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Terry. Good to talk to you. I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be great. What a great young man this is doing what he's doing. I just wanted to say something pretty briefly about what he was saying as far as the Democrats and Republicans, and the Republicans need to come around. And he also made a good point that, you know, at least if a Democrat got elected, you'd have somebody you could blame things on, because the Republicans aren't doing anything either. A couple of things I do want to bring up very quickly, and that is that the person that Red was talking about, because he and I were at the same meeting, that was basically afraid of what the press might say, and he said this at a meeting in Corning, and that was Doug LaMalfa, who's our congressman, who's a Republican. So, wow. You know, really and truly, it gives you pause to think that he's afraid of the press. But the other thing I wanted to say is that if you look at the voter rolls right now and who voted in the last election, the Republicans had 4,483,814 voters in California that voted. The Democrats were 8,753,349 that voted, and the independents had 1,604,000. Now, in looking at that, you can see that the Republicans are really the second party, and they're actually number two by, Democrats outnumber us by two, twice as many. The independent party now, independents and declined estates, have now risen, as far as a party preference, to number two in California. So the Democrats are one, the independents and declined estates are two, and the Republicans are number three. So, again, Ben, good point about trying to bring some of those people over. The independents and declined estates people are the people that really would be great to bring over to our side on this all the issues, not just the sanctuary counties, but all the issues. So I just wanted to bring that up and see what you had to say about that.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And you know, the irony of it is you continue to see we have a Republican Party that's slitting its own throat and has been doing it for years, and they continue with this mindset that if we just become a little bit more like the Democrats, we'll get more Democrats to like us. And every year we're losing more and more. Republicans are losing more and more to the voting rolls because there is no clear distinction. It was, you know, Reagan used the term bold colors, not pastel different to, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but we have to be boldly different. And unfortunately, when you have a Republican Party who's basically Democrat light, there isn't. Why would a Democrat want to go to a Republican? When they get more done of what they want on the Democrat side. So until the Republican Party steps up and says, you know what, we need to be proudly conservative, we need to be proudly Christian, or at least godly, moral people, we need to set that moral baseline because everything else is built on that, we're going to continue to see that trend. And in the middle, and really, until if they were just to say, you know what, we're just going to be honest. From here on out, we're going to be honest. I think we would get a lot of those independents and decline to state, because there are a lot of people that I may disagree. I have a lot of friends, you know, just about everybody I know. I even disagree with myself sometimes. But at least when somebody is honest with me, I can respect them and appreciate them. When you're not honest, and that's what we have political nepotism, narcissism. They're about their key.
Hey Ben, we're having a little bit of a trouble with your phone signal there. You're
yeah,
breaking up on
us. I can't hear him at all.
Turn your head the other way, Ben.
Hang on. Is that any better?
It is.
Yeah, that's much better because I couldn't hear a word he said. I had the radio on and muted myself so I could hear him. And that's all great stuff, Ben, great stuff.
But again, if the Republican Party was just honest, then you would see people coming back. And even whether or not they were registered as Republicans, they would start to vote that way. Just like we saw so many independents voting for Trump. People are just looking for somebody. And you know, even when he says things that aren't 100% true, I think he's honest on the inside. I don't know if that makes sense, but people look at him and say, you know what, you get what you get with him. So anyway, that's really the point of it. It's Republicans just need to grow a spine and just be honest with the people.
Well, yeah, there's more than enough issues for, especially here in California, for them to dig their heels in and fight on, and they won't. They surrender after surrender after surrender, and we don't have realistic or, you know, unrealistic expectations. Really, at this point, we're just asking for somebody who'll stand up and fight.
Right.
Let me ask you something,
well,
Ben.
And that really brings back to this issue and why I'm so passionate about Fight Sanctuary State and defeating this cancer. This cancer, and it's a national issue. It's not just a local or a state issue. This cancer of lawlessness and undermining our sovereignty is going to destroy this country if we let it. If we kill it in California, we can kill it across the country. But it does more than that. It gives us a platform to communicate and take back the narrative where people will say, they'll actually start to listen to us. It's just like, you know, when if you don't have a relationship with someone, it's hard to reach them. But once you build that relationship, you can talk to them just about anything. This is that same thing. I look at this the same way. In California, if we win on this issue, we can go to, you know, to the rest of the issues and really start from the left, the media, the education system in our state. It opens the door to every other issue, and then we go after those, and we fight, and we win, and we fight, and we win, and we fight, and we win.
We've got a lot of fighting to do, buddy.
Well, I have some very serious questions about the validity of California elections. After some of the things that I've seen from the Election Integrity Project, things that came out of the DNC about what the Clinton campaign was able to do out here in California with the voting and Bernie Sanders in the primary and things like that. I have some very serious concerns about whether our elections in this state are even legitimate at this point.
Yeah.
Guys, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, just one quick thing. Ben, you're spot on. I'm going to get off here pretty quick because I want to hear what he has to say, and I've got I have to listen to my radio to do that. But anyway, I did want to say that when Mark Baird and I went in front of when Steinberg was the pro tem of the assembly, and we went in front of Steinberg, we actually talked to his chief of staff, and when we explained to her what we were doing in Jefferson, and basically about representation and the ratios being insane with 1 million people per senator and 500,000 per assemblyman, she actually said, you know, I'm the most liberal person in this building, meaning the legislative body in Sacramento and staff. She said, I'm the most liberal person probably in here, but what you're saying holds water. The representation is not adequate for anybody. The problem you're going to have is that the people who are elected like it that way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the issue. So in a lot of cases, we need to rally the people, absolutely. But I mean, how many things have we voted against and it was overturned in court? Or frankly, the legislative body just didn't want to do it. And Ben, you made a good point. A lot of these people that are Democrats keep electing the same people that do the stuff they don't want them to do. And you're absolutely right about that. But the real deal is that the legislative body we have is corrupt in California, almost head to toe. We have senators and assemblymen who like what they're doing, come out of there a lot richer. Our Senator Ted Gaines owns 12 homes. Well, how do you do that? The guy doesn't work. And not only that, he and his wife live in different homes, so she can run for office in one particular county, and he can run for Senate. I mean, as long as you have that, and that's supposed to be our guys, that's where a lot of the changes need to be. So, I mean, really and truly, yes, we need to pull everybody to our side, and yeah, the troops need to rally, but I mean, and I don't have to tell you this because you've taken lumps, literally taken lumps. This young man, folks, has been out there on the line, and he's put his his head where his mouth is a lot of times, and people have beat on him because he stands for liberty. And maybe that's what it's going to take from a lot more people. And so anyway, I'm going to get off here because I really want to hear what you had to say. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow night. Can't wait to hear your message. And God bless you, brother.
Thank you, sir. Looking forward to it. Yeah, the Election Integrity Project, their estimates was somewhere, and I don't know the exact number offhand, but I know it was over 3 million that they estimated illegal voters in the last election, and not in the primary, but in the previous general election. 3 million illegal alien voters, over, I think it was 3.5. That, and the Democrats just completely deny it. When you have a Secretary of State that likes it that way, and you have politicians like Kerry was just saying that like it that way, we continue to get what we get. That's partly why the AB 60, one of the things that it's just completely unconstitutional. AB 60 was the driver's licenses for illegals. That's part of the, our initiative, our, Children, Family, and Community Protection Act, which we have title and summary for. We're in the process of raising the funds to get the, signatures. And so anyone who would like to help with that, we'd appreciate that. But one of those things, SB 50 or AB 60, is purely designed to get illegal aliens registered to vote. In California, you have automatic voter registration. You have to opt out. If you have a driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote. You have to opt out in order to not be registered. So we have over 1 million illegal aliens now with driver's licenses that are eligible to vote, you know, quote unquote, in California because of that. So there's so many things that we have to attack and tackle, but this is one of those where we can go after it. But you're right. I don't trust our election process. I believe there's millions of illegal votes out there, not just illegal aliens, but, you know, dead people voting and people voting for other people that just have been apathetic and haven't gone to the polls.
Hey, Ben, with that, we're going to take a break. Get your breath. We're ready to hear you again on the other side.
Sounds good.
Call me a redneck, a reckon that I am, but this thing's going on, make me mad down to the core. I have to work like a dog to make ends meet. There's crooked politicians and crime in the street, and I'm madder than hell, and I ain't gonna take it no more. They tell our kids to just say no, and then some panty-waist judge lets a drug dealer go. He slaps him on the wrist, and he turns it back out on the town.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new vines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name.
I'm Jeff Fink, president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, and I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 California Street, one block south of Jack's Grill, or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Our team is ready to spoil you with personalized service.
Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo return this August to Reading's Cascade Theater. These two are still rocking after 39 years together. Four-time Grammy winners Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo bring their band and their hits to the Cascade August 6th. Get tickets and limited VIP passes today at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
We're living in a country that's the finest place on earth, but some folks don't appreciate this land that gave them birth. I hear that up in Washington they're having an awful fuss, 'cause communists and spies were making monkeys out of us. The bureaus and departments have been busy night and day. They're figuring out just how we gave our secrets all away. And Congress has appointed a committee, so they said, to find out who's American and who's a low-down red. They call them up to Washington to speak for Uncle Sam. But when they ask them what they are, they shut up like a clam. I wish they'd take and put me on the witness stand today. I'd yell so loud old Stalin could hear me all the way.
I'm no communist, I'll tell you that right now. I believe a man should own his own house.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. And that's an oldie but goodie, and I think it certainly fits for California, because I think more and more people need to stand up and start saying it. We're facing a communist insurrection in California, and they're using a great many methods to bring about their agenda. And the tip of the spear, the big one, is the illegal alien issue in California, not only because they're using it to remove our rights, our voice, our representation, our ability to vote, but the way that they're treating illegal aliens, they are setting them up as a new class of citizen where they don't have rights, but they have privileges that are issued to them by the state. And those privileges that are being issued by the state can just as quickly be revoked by the state if those illegal aliens don't toe the line at the threat of deportation.
Let me break in and tell you what happened on, I guess it was probably about July 25th. Pierce College, that's a community college in Los Angeles. A young man was handing out little copies of the Constitution, and they made him stop because he was not in their free speech zone. Their free speech zone is 616 square feet. They took him to the office and gave him a permit application to use the free speech zone.
I got a free speech zone. It's 50
this is
large.
A college in California. Oh. Ben, did you get your breath? We're ready for you.
Yeah, sorry about that. I get a little passionate, so sometimes you just gotta.
You're great, buddy. We love you.
Yeah, no, and a couple of the points you just made. This is one. This is really, really, really critical that people understand this. The unholy alliance, if the left has made, it is a Marxist party now. The Democrats are no longer, you know, the party of labor, the party. Well, they really are. They're the Communist Party, though, and everything that they do, all of the connections that they make. I was at a rally in Fresno yesterday. It was the ICE Out of California rally in Fresno. Several hundred illegal alien sympathizers and openly illegal alien shouting undocumented, unafraid, out there marching with people with rainbow flags, with people with the Red Star, communist. You know, they're open about it now because they've taken so much ground in our culture. This civil war that we're in, and we're already in it. It's a cultural civil war right now. It's freedom and liberty versus Marxism, totalitarianism, destruction, death and destruction.
Ain't my state no more. Hey, listen, I mistakenly jumped over Matt. Matt, are you still there? He had a question or something. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm.
Go ahead,
I'm
Matt.
I'm still here. I just wanted to tell you guys, I think you're wrong about the Republicans. Quite honestly, they sold us out a long time ago. They have the same agenda up at the upper levels as the Democrats. There's a good documentary you all should check out called The End of America by Naomi Wolf. She goes into how historically despots and dictators closed down a free society. The leadership of the Republican Party has been in lockstep with what the Democrats have been doing for a decade. There's a reason why they ran Mitt Romney against Obama. When on policy levels, they were identical. The only difference between the two is the color of their skin and the political party. You guys have a good day. I'll listen to you off the air.
Hey, I'm sorry to cut you off like that, Ben. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't disagree with him at all. We have had, and when I say that, what the Republicans need to do, because I believe that there are people. He's talking about the leadership in the Republican Party, and the same goes for the leadership in the Democrat Party. The Democrat voters, there's a lot of honorable Democrat voters out there that are just blind, and there's a lot of honorable Republican voters who have allowed the enemies within into our own party. And so when it comes to the party level, I totally agree with what he just said. There, we are being led off the cliff. We are having our slit throat on both sides, and it's time for the people to stand up and take it back. Whether that's in the streets, physically, hopefully we don't get to that point, but we have to do that. We have to take it back. We have to stand up. And now we don't have, you know, 20 years like we had 20 years ago. We are at that point. If Hillary would have been elected, I don't know if we could have reversed it. Even now, I think we've gone so far that I know a lot of people that have just said, oh, it's gone too far. I believe he has a plan. I believe there's a reason why we're still here. I support the state of Jefferson and the breakup of California if it gets to that point, if we can do that. But in the meantime, I believe I'm called to stay here as a remnant to fight. And there is a calling of people that are out there that have been silent that are being pulled out to stand up for this time in history.
Ben, as long as there's people like us that still have breath in our lungs, it'll never be too late.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the fact that we still have our Constitution. You know, they haven't taken the framework away, although they've bastardized it with agency rule and all these other things that are, you know, totally unconstitutional. The framework is still there if we can get back to it.
Absolutely. And that's what we need to start to do. And we need to start picking officials that will stick to the Constitution and fight and defend it. And even if they're on the losing end of it, is, you know, going back to the statement that was made by Doug LaMalfa, well, the press will say really bad things about us. Who gives a damn about the press and what they say about you? What about your constituents? You know, if you stand up and fight for us, you'll probably win every election from here until your grandkids, if you would just stand and fight, but you won't.
Right.
But again, we're lacking in the candidates, we're lacking in the capabilities and the knowledge to run somehow. And the Republican Party will continue to shore up people like this because even though he doesn't need them, campaign contributions will pour into his coffers, and then they'll be distributed through the GOP and into critical races. He's nothing but a cash cow, so the Republican Party and the apparatus will continue to shore him up. They don't care if it's Doug LaMalfa, what his policies are, or who he is. He's a placeholder on their bank account.
He'll sure stand up for the Puerto Ricans, though, won't he?
Oh, he will, yeah. He'll help, you know, want to pass legislation for that, or if you want to broker an Indian casino, he'll actually do legislation like that. But he won't move to protect the Klamath Dams. He won't move to support Jefferson. He won't move to get our timber rights back. He hasn't done it. I could go on and on. But yet, we continue to saddle ourselves with this guy.
Yeah, and the same thing is true. So I've got my congressman. I'm about 100 yards out of Devin Nunes' district, and he's one who's actually fighting. I don't agree with everything he stands for, but, man, he's a fighter. And his support of Trump and what he's doing with the deep state, I absolutely support. But my congressman, David Valadao, is the exact same. He cares more about me than he does about American citizens in his district. And I have, for the last two elections, I've just left it blank. I will not vote for somebody who isn't willing to fight any longer. And that doesn't mean I'm a Democrat. I don't want Democrats to fight, but weak Republicans are worse because they continue we continue to compromise. And all that compromise means is we get a little further to the left. We go a little more Marxist. It's time that we fight and that we win. We don't go in there with the intent to compromise. We go in there with the intent to win, to defeat this enemy completely. And until we get representatives that go in with that mindset, we're going to continue to have the outcomes that we've been seeing lately.
Absolutely. And as long as, you know, a wise man once said, to repeat the same process and expect a different outcome is insanity. And that's what we're doing.
Yep.
All of us that are frustrated, upset, want change, and then we continue to elect the same people. We continue to follow the same procedures. We continue to listen to the same voices. We're doing all of these things over and over in this loop, and we're getting nowhere, and it's crazy, and it definitely needs to change.
Career politicians, that's the problem.
Yeah, and they go, if you look at, I mean, it really, you boil it down, so they take a lot of the blame, but really it comes back to, Terry was making the point about the voters. And if you look at the percentage of people that actually turn out, we have so many people that say they believe what we believe and they're on our side, and they don't even show up. That, even to go to the polls, I mean, I'm not even talking about driving to L.A. like I'm doing right now or coming up to Reading tomorrow or doing, you know, I'm not talking about even going to that level, even just going to the polls to vote, to show up and vote, or to go out
and confront your city councilman. People are so apathetic that I am just praying that we have gotten to the point where they start to open their eyes and see that if they don't do something now, we're going to lose this nation. They're going to lose the freedom. They're going to lose the freedom to go out and just do whatever they want on their weekends and have fun and work to live. And, you know, I mean, there's a whole block of our population that is completely out of it. And it's time that we get them engaged.
It's worse than that in some instances, too, because not only are people apathetic, but often they're the ones leading the charge to attack the people that are trying to change it. They marginalize them as radicals and crazies and troublemakers. And I think a lot of what it comes down to is if people will allow the truth into their hearts and their minds, then they have to come to the realization as good and just people. They've got to stand up and do something about it. And I think that's the reality that they're trying to shy away from.
Absolutely.
So with that, we do have to take a break. If you can stick with us through the last segment, Ben, that'd be great.
Yeah, as long as my audio stays in there.
All right, we'll see you on the other side.
You came down to this southern town last summer to show the folks a brand new way of life. But all you've shown the folks around here is trouble, and you've only added misery to their strife. Your concern is not to help the people, and I'll say again, no, it's been often said. Your concern is just to bring discomfort, my friend. And your policy is just a little red. Now, ain't I right?
Ain't you right? Ain't you right?
It matters not to you how people suffer. And should they, you consider that a game. You bring a lot of trouble to the town and then you leave. That's part of your communistic game. I detect a little communism.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Reading. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
To our last segment, we got about 10 minutes to the top of the hour and a hard break. We're here with Ben Berquam and his fight against the sanctuary state. Ben, do we still got you?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
All right. Is there anything that you wanted to get in the last 10 minutes here?
Well, so that aren't aware of it, the SAPI initiative has got title and summary, fightsanctuarystate.com. You can get more information on that. Our big thing right now is
Ben, you're breaking up pretty bad on us again.
Hey, let me. I'm going through a bit of a dead zone here. Hang tight.
Understandable.
You guys, I don't know if you guys can hear me.
You're better now.
Okay. So yeah. So we've got title and stuff. People can get more information at fightsanctuarystate.com. Like the initiative will overturn the Sanctuary State SB54. It will also criminalize Sanctuary City policy. So mayors like Libby Schaaf and San Francisco mayor, their policies will become criminals themselves.
Now,
it will also repeal automatic voter registration to get rid of the and force you to prove citizenship in order to register to vote. So it is the critical fight. I would invite people to go to fightsanctuarystate.com, join us in that if they can contribute. If they all they can do is share it, you know, $5 to $500 to $1,000. Anybody, you know, it's going to take several million dollars to get this thing passed. So every bit helps though.
Okay, and so you're looking to get this on as a ballot initiative?
Yeah, so we've titled and summary, but we're anticipating it's not obviously going to be on the 2018. It'll be on the 2020 or special election ballot. We filed it this year, though, to get the benefit of having the lower numbers, the threshold, because it was based on the last gubernatorial race, which is one of the lowest turnouts in history, unsurprisingly, when Kashkari is your candidate. We need 366,000. Our goal is actually 700,000. We want to just crush this thing, signatures. But we have 5 months to do that from this point forward. So anybody that is interested in helping us on this fight, either as a volunteer, signature gatherer, or financially, I'd ask them to go to fightsanctuarystate.com and support.
Okay, and I would hope that you don't have any trouble finding volunteers for something like that, because it is very, very clearly laid out in the Constitution that the power to regulate immigration and naturalization is reserved to the federal government. It is one of the powers that is exclusive to the federal government that cannot be superseded by the state, which California is blatantly doing and illegally doing so. And not only just that, but all of the other things that are going with it. You brought up San Francisco, who is now openly registering illegal aliens for elections and school districts and things like this. We see where they are attempting to repeal the legislation that prevents communists from actively serving in our legislature. All sorts of things where they actually tried to float a bill to change Washington and Lincoln's birthday to International Labor Day and other communist holidays. It is an open and blatant attack, not only on the citizens of California, but America. We really are the front line of the fight here. And people have to get up, people have to get engaged. And things that people like you and the movement that you're doing are absolutely critical to preserving our freedoms.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I completely agree. This midterms, these are the most important elections, definitely of my lifetime, but I would even say of several generations. If we lose, if the left is able to take back power, and I wouldn't even say Democrats, it's left, and that's on Republican and Democrats, leftists in this country, statists who want to have a top-down totalitarian government that dictates how you live your life, whether or not you can use straws. I mean, we've gotten to the point of complete insanity in our state and in our country. If you don't want that to continue, you have to get out, you have to fight, and you cannot do it. We can't sit back and play the little nice guy. I'm afraid of political correctness. I'm afraid of being called a racist or a sexist or all of the names that the left uses to marginalize and silence people. We have to stand up and fight back and start attacking them. We have played defense for too long. It's time to play offense and go back and start winning. But I believe with all of my heart that there is a generation of people that are ready to do that, and they're being called, and they're standing already. And there are millions more that are going to be called out to stand for this time. So I am hopeful and optimistic to see what the future holds. But I'm also pissed off
by, you know, standing out there for 3 hours yesterday watching these enemies within, these communists, illegal aliens in our country protesting our government.
Instead
if
of hiding,
doesn't piss you off,
instead of hiding behind a bush.
Yeah, yeah. No, you should be afraid. And I go to these things and they say, oh, well, these poor immigrants, they don't work with police because they're afraid, illegals, because they're afraid if they call the police, they might get found. You know what? I don't care. If you're a criminal, just like if you have a warrant out for a misdemeanor or a felony, you're probably not going to call law enforcement. That doesn't mean we stop enforcing our laws. If you're here illegally, you should be afraid. You should be deported. It's time that we protect American citizens. And the dreams that I care about and the lives that I care about are the ones that have been destroyed by criminal aliens that have murdered, like Kate Steinle, like Drew Rosenberg, like Dominique Durden, like Ronald Da Silva. And you go down the list, thousands of American citizens killed by illegal aliens, protected by sanctuary policies. The politicians that support these laws are criminal, but it's up to us to hold them accountable.
Absolutely, especially when you have someone like Javier Becerra as your attorney general, who it's being shown now is not even valid to run for office because he's no longer even part of the bar.
Yeah, yeah, he has committed treason along with Kevin DeLeon, along with Jerry Brown, and somehow, you know, when our nation was founded, those guys would have already been shot for treason. We just don't have the stomach for it anymore. Until we actually stand up, at minimum, they deserve life prison sentences. But it's time. We have to get a generation of courage. We have to get rid of this feminist, political correct, you know, weak, feminized boys. We have to raise men again. I mean, there's so much that has to change, but it starts with us standing up and saying truth and speaking it, whether or not we're the only ones out there. I've been in crowds where I've been surrounded by hundreds of people, and it was just me. And I had people come up to me and say, oh, don't you feel stupid being out here? You're the only one out here. And my answer back to them is, no, I'll stand even if I stand alone when I stand in truth. And it's time that we have a generation of people that are willing to do that, put their lives on the line. We have had thousands of men and women put on the uniforms of this nation, protect and serve, lost their lives. If the citizens of this country, and I wasn't in the military, I'm only a citizen of this nation, but if we're not willing to stand up and put our lives on the line, we don't deserve the freedom that we have. And it's time that every American citizen come with that mindset and begin to stand up and fight back and take this country back.
Well, and one of the things that these people that support sanctuary cities and stuff, and they try to take the moral high ground. And quite simply, if they really gave a damn about these people, about these immigrants, they wouldn't be trying to find a way to enable them to be legal. They wouldn't be fighting to keep them here illegally. They would be fighting to reform our immigration system and finding a way to turn them into citizens and make sure that they're the kind of citizens that they want. If they really cared, yeah, they would want them under the protection of the Constitution. They would want them as part of America. That's not what they want. They want them here illegally so that they can use and manipulate them for their own ends, and it's just another form of soft slavery.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Democrats like illegal aliens, and they like all victims so that they keep them under their thumb and they can use them, just like the black population, the minority populations across our country that they've used for years. They've kept them in bondage, in financial bondage, as victims, so they can continue to manipulate them, just like they say. And the Republicans like the illegal aliens for cheap labor. Both sides are keeping them as victims rather than saying, you know what, we are going to secure our borders. And it's not, I've been told that it's not, where's your compassion? And my, you know, by putting up a wall to keep people out, it's not compassionate to me to let a murderer or rapist into my house with my family. And the same thing is true for our country. America is our family. Well, we have to protect the people on the inside. It's time that we stand up and we do that. We protect them and we stop allowing the status of this nation to keep these victims under their thumb. Even the illegal aliens, even the illegal have come to us and say they support what we're doing. The ones that are here that actually want a better life for themselves, that want to become citizens, we've had them come to us and say, we support what you're doing because these criminals are actually coming into our community and victimizing us.
Absolutely.
So all across the board. Now, again, they know that I disagree with their legal, you know, them being here illegally. But even they are coming to us saying, we support what you're doing.
All right, Ben, we are going to get cut off here at the top of the hour. I want to thank you for being here, and you will be at the church on Bonneview tomorrow night, and looking forward to seeing you, and so are a whole lot of other people.
Thanks, Ben.
God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Be safe.